Mute everyone, please.
Not me, don't mute me. Okay. Nice internet, a few people here. It's absolutely packed in here, it's hundreds of people. Okay, okay, what time are we starting? 10 past, we'll finish that.
Whenever you finish, you're finished.
We were just talking, just schmoozing a bit before we started. I remember about, what year was it with Birchas HaChomer?
2009.
So I remember in 2009, 11 years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael and I was learning. I remember I think I just got to Yeshiva, maybe I've been there a couple of years. And I remember everyone was very excited about Birchas HaChomer. Every 28 years, we make a bracha on the sun, right? So I'm not going to go into the ups and downs and numbers of Birchas HaChomer, because we've only got half an hour. But the Maisa, I went to the Kotel to do the bracha, and it was Nate's time, I remember. So we went to the Kotel, and we were all there in the Kotel. We got there, and we all said the bracha, and I remember looking around, and people were and people were so excited about this bracha of Birchas HaChomer, right? And I remember walking back afterwards, and I was with a group of people, and I remember this same group of people, we stopped off at this, I think it was a bagel place or something, to get some water. And the person, good morning, and the person from the group who was Mr. Boruch Ator, you know, looking at the sun, that he needed special shades to block the sun from his eyes, he gets a, I remember this like it was yesterday, even though it was 11 years ago. So I think it was 2009. Anyway, so I remember he took, it was a, I think it was a cappuccino or something, a coffee from the, I think it was Holy Bagel, I don't think there anymore. Anyway, so he takes this coffee and he goes, look at here, we're also asking men now. Yeah, go, here you're like Mr. something with the sun, and here you're Mr. just another coffee, right? So it's very, very interesting, right? So obviously, when we speak as friends, we know that the difference is this happens regularly, this happens every day, and it's anything with routine inherently by human nature becomes somewhat boring. And I remember once when I got my new car, it's not new anymore, but I remember when I got my new car, which was at the time 10 years old, but it was new for me, right? But it's important, so it looks new, they just change the outside, don't they? Anyway, so I got this new car, and I remember I was showing it to my wife, and I was going, yeah, look at the bonnet, pick up the bonnet, look at that, look at that, there's a thing under, and there's an ashtray, and it opens and closes. She's like, you don't even smoke. I'm like, yeah, there's an ashtray, and it opens, and then I'm showing her all around this car, and eventually, now, you know, a few years later, it doesn't really, you know, I want to get a new car, right? So inherently, things when they're new become exciting, and things when they're routine become somewhat mundane, as a general rule. So I wanted to talk about today a little bit about a subject which, Be'ezras Hashem, we have to deal with twice a day, yeah? On Shabbos, three times a day, but we have to deal with this subject twice a day. And hopefully, to gain excitement in something, the best way to gain excitement, in my humble opinion, if you're not being paid to do it, is to learn about it. Yeah? So the more you learn about something, the more you invest in it, let's say the lumdos, in the intricate details, the more you invest in the kind of intricate, if you're a key worker, I have to get in, right? So the more you invest in the key details, especially when it comes to lumdos and Torah, the more you normally, 9 times out of 10, the more you get out of the mitzvahs, the more you know and understand the intricate details, the more you get out of it. So I want to talk a little bit about Chazoras HaShas. There is someone in the room here who I'm not going to name, who one time during Chazoras HaShas many years ago, or maybe even many weeks ago, I was learning during Chazoras HaShas, and this person came up to me and said, as a good friend of mine, you know, it's best not to learn during Chazoras HaShas. So I thought, everyone learns during Chazoras HaShas. So I started, this is a true story, learning up the Sugya a little bit, and Be'ezras Hashem will bring some clarity into the Sugya of Chazoras HaShas, and it will help us to hopefully connect our Shem during our tefillahs. It was too early to be. We're gonna get there. Don't worry. Okay, so the background quickly of Chazoras HaShas. It's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and it talks about the chazan, yeah, the bar tefillah. The machlokes tanayim exactly how it works and who it's for and whatever else. But lemaisa, the makor is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says you can be yotze people. Mighty people, if you're the Baal Tefillah, someone can be yoitzed if you're Chazoras HaShas. Now, I want to tell you, As soon as you learn this sugya, when you have a look in the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Chav Dalet, so you see straight out the back there's a massive kasha. Yeah, there's a massive kasha, which no one really asks, but I'm going to ask. Yeah? There's a massive kasha like this. It says like this. What's the, it's always small print, right? Whenever you get a loan or something, there's always small print. So unfortunately, halacha, you can't go on, what's it called, money saving dot or whatever it's called, yeah? So whatever it is, it's small print. So the small print of Chazoras HaShas is as follows. Let's see if anyone knows this. When does Chazoras HaShas not work? Who, let's say, does it not work for? Let's say I go to Sean and I go, you know what, I'm not in the mood to daven, and I'll listen to the Baal Tefillah and he'll be moitz to me. Very good. It only works if you don't know how to daven yourself. If you know how to daven yourself, forget about it. Straight out the bat, the Mishnah Berurah says this. Straight out the bat. You should know it only works she'eino baki. It only works if you don't know how to daven. If you know how to daven, you've got no chance. Yeah, it doesn't work. Rabotisai. What, it's based on a concept of Kol Yisrael Reuven Veledeh, which we all kind of know about, which is we're all responsible for each other, whether we like it or whether we don't like it. We're all family, so to speak, definitely for our neshamas, and we all have to have responsibility that people around us in the tzibur are doing mitzvahs. So therefore, Chazal said that you're allowed to do mitzvahs for each other, certain mitzvahs. I can't put on tefillin for you. Right, they'd be too small anyway, maybe. But I'm saying I can say a bracha for you. I can do these things for you, and you act as if I'm doing them, and you have in mind, and therefore you say amen, and therefore you will be, you'll get the mitzvah along with me, and I'll be, yes, let's say you're shliach. Well, it's a bit complicated, yeah? Okay. Here, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It only works if you are not able to daven yourself. You don't see this, now correct me if I'm wrong, you don't see this anywhere else, really. You don't see, imagine coming to my house for Friday night, you can all come once this sun's over, lean over, and you all come to my house, and it's Friday night, and I do what everyone does, which is, would you like me to make kiddush for you? Would you like to say it yourself? And everyone will say, make it yourself, apart from you, who'll probably make it yourself, because the chassidish minhag is say it yourself. Okay, it's a different sugya, maybe we'll get there one day. And most of you will say, no, it's fine, you make it. What do you mean? You know how to make kiddush, why don't you make kiddush yourself? So again, the idea is that me saying it, you saying it, me saying it for you, is basically this, let's call it the same thing, it works, lachatchila, no problem at all. Right? What about Chazoras HaShas? Why is Chazoras HaShas different? Why would Chazoras HaShas do she'eino baki, but when it comes to not Chazoras HaShas, any other mitzvah, even if I've already done the mitzvah, as in Kiddush, I can make Kiddush for you again. Any mitzvah at all, I can do for you. I've read the Megillah, I can read the Megillah for you again. Yeah, I'm not dealing with the brachas and things like that, but lemaisa, if I do a mitzvah, I can do it again. Chazoras HaShas, one set, Chazoras HaShas, I've done Shemona Esrei, I'm now the Baal Tefillah, you walk in, I am not allowed to say Shemona Esrei for you unless you don't know how to daven. What's Pshat? What's Pshat? Don't see it anywhere else. So I think the Pshat is, I didn't see this much. I saw it in a few modern kind of, a very late Achronim. Yeah. I think the Pshat is like this. There's a big difference between a mitzvah, like Kiddush, where you're recognizing Hashem, or there's a mitzvah like reading the Megillah, where you have a chiyuv to read the Megillah and know the story of Purim, and a mitzvah where the whole mitzvah itself, Shemona Esrei, what's the point? What's the point of Shemona Esrei? The whole point of Shemona Esrei is connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right now, your job is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your job right now, whether you like it or not, hopefully you like it, your job right now is to build a relationship with Hashem. Right, three times a day, Chazoras HaShas is twice a day, because Marav, when they first made it, was a Rishus, you didn't have to do it. But three times a day, twice a day, let's say you have to connect to Hashem, and for you to say, well, I know how to daven, but I can't really be bothered, you daven for me, Chazal said, no, that's not a good idea, because the whole point through tefillah is different. You want to daven to Hashem, connect to Hashem, daven for panasa, daven for refuah. It's better that it comes from you, from your own mouth, from your own lathe, than that it comes from someone else, and that's why it's different.
The Chazoras HaShas is an intrinsic mitzvah, whereas you make a bracha for someone to eat, you make a bracha for someone to do something else.
Kiddush, that's it.
Kiddush, even Megillah, you make the bracha, yeah. You make it for someone else.
Yeah.
But here, it's the intrinsic mitzvah, it's like putting on tefillin. Chazoras HaShas is
okay, I didn't see mitzvah. That. Yeah.
That's my suggestion.
Yeah, right? Very good. I'm going to look, Blineda, I'll look into it. Yeah, Blineda. It's interesting. I'm going to look into that, Blineda. Okay, so that's why tefillah is different. Now I want to tell you, there's a few interesting like kashas and inyanim of Chazoras HaShas, which I think we all fundamentally make loads and loads of mistakes with. But the first one I want to talk about is, Now, you see this in the tzibur, people are up and people are down, and some people stand and some people sit and some people cross legs and some people do a little dance. Yeah. At the end of the day, do you have to stand up for Chazaras HaShas or do you have to sit down for Chazaras HaShas? So everyone always says, Chachila, you should stand, right? But okay, but let's see this. It's not so pashut at all. So when it comes to standing for Chazaras HaShas, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention anything about standing for Chazaras HaShas. The Ramah comes in, and he says, he brings in the Sefer HaMinhagim, that it's good to stand for Chazaras HaShas. And the Mishnah Berurah also says it's good, based on Shema Kohenah, which means that since he's davening, and he's davening, let's say, for everyone else, so the Chayadim also says to be connected to him. We're not talking about here by someone who's actually having the Shemana Esrei said for him, She'enu Baki. We're talking about us guys, we know how to daven. Chayadim says the reason you should stand is because at the end of the day, you want to make that you're all one tzibur. We want to show that there's an achdus about us, that the tefillahs are going up to Shemayim through all of us. You've got one guy, you know, who's crossing his legs sitting in the corner, another guy who's sitting over here, another guy who's on his phone, yeah? So it doesn't have a kind of achdus about tefillahs going up to Shemayim. So therefore, it's better everyone stands and everyone concentrates. That's the Loshon of the Mishnah Berurah, that's the Loshon of the Chayadim and a few others who I saw. What about not standing? What's the shot? Why do people not? You see, a lot of people don't stand because of the shots, right? Normally, when people don't do things, it's not normally, oh, they just don't know what they don't know the halacha. Because most people, they do know the halacha, or they've had a quick look at the Shulchan Aruch. So what is pshat of not standing? Right. So I used to, well, I'm going to have to go a bit quick because it's just a time constraint. I always thought there's no heter, yeah? Because I was gefrumt. I went to yeshiva and I became Meshuggah Frum with my parents, Paskin, yeah? So, Meshuggah Frum is fine, but I always thought there's no heter not to stand for the Shas. I was so wrong. When I started looking in the Sugya Rabbosai, I was so wrong. It's not so clear that you have to stand, and I'm going to be the one who's going to let you, maybe open the doors a little bit, the Chatchila, the place can bring you should stand, but why would you say you don't have to stand? What can you be so mechon? So the Goyin, the Vilna Goyin writes in the Shulchan Aruch, right here on the Ramah, he crosses out where the Ramah says you need to stand, and he says that the tefillah is she'enu baki. That's all he says. He says, Chazaras HaShas is for someone who doesn't know how to daven. Now, the Goyin we know is a bit cryptic, right? He writes like two words, and they write an entire svarim about every single letter that he used. Why? I don't know exactly, yeah? But the Goyin's cryptic. So he writes, to tefillah, Chazaras HaShas is for someone who's she'enu baki. He doesn't know how to daven, right? So the Achroinim say, what does the Goyin mean? What does the Goyin mean? He means, why do I have to stand? I'm not being going to sit out. I've davened already. I know how to daven. This chazora now is just for anyone who doesn't know how to daven. So therefore, according to the Goyin, the Maisa, you wouldn't have to stand for chazoras and shas. But boys, like, before you get excited, it's not a heter to be on your phone. It's not a heter to talk, yeah? It's a heter not to stand. So don't get too excited, okay? I also saw there's a sefer called Halachas Katanas. Very interesting sefer. Now, I want to say this was my diyuk, let's say, from the Gemara, but it wasn't, because I saw it inside. But it's a very, very cool Gemara. There's Gemara in Yoma. Morning. Right at the end of the Gemara in Yoma, so it brings a story about Yom Kippur. And it talks about Erev Yom Kippur and the vidoy that we say after Mincha, after Shemoneh Esrei, on Erev Yom Kippur. And it brings a story there, and it says that Bar Hamudeh was standing by Shmuel. Yeah, he was watching Shmuel daven the Shemoneh Esrei, Shmuel, the Hilag Amorah. And Shmuel, it says, the Gemara says, he stood up for Vidoy. He stood for Vidoy. Yeah, he was sitting, and then he stood for Vidoy. What? What do you mean he stood for Vidoy? Rabbi said, when is Vidoy? At the end of Chazaras HaShas. What do you mean Shmuel stood for Vidoy? He should have been standing the whole time, right? So, they want to say, some of the Achronim want to say, it's mashma from this Gemara. It's implicit in this Gemara that you don't have to stand for Chazaras HaShas, that Shmuel didn't stand for Chazaras HaShas. Okay, other people want to say, no, maybe he was weak, maybe he wasn't feeling well, maybe he was old, maybe he was preserving his energy for Yom Kippur. But Lemaisa, it seems, much more from the Gemara, you wouldn't have to stand. Now, the problem is that the Rambam writes, clearly, one of the, you know, Halagat Rishon, probably one of the greatest Rishonim, if not the greatest Rishonim in terms of Halacha, he writes, and I'm going to quote this now so no one accuses me of fake news, yeah? For Hakol Oimdim Vashoimrim, for Oinim Amen Achad Kol Brocha Vabrocha. Yeah? You should all stand and you should all answer after every single Brocha. And he's talking about Chazaras HaShas, don't worry, yeah? You can trust me there. The problem, so it's great. So you see, the Rambam holds you should stand for Chazaras HaShas. What's the problem? What's the kasha? If anyone gets this, you get a milky bar. What's the. What's the kasha? The kasha is...
Is there a chef there at all? Because
everyone's fine. The kasha is, Rabbi Isai, is why does the Ramah... Believe me, he had access to the Rambam. Believe me, yeah? Why does the Ramah not bring the Rambam? Why does the Ramah bring the Sefer HaMinhagim? You're the Ramah. You want to go somewhat, let's say, against the Shulchan Aruch, a little bit, yeah? You want to say, no, you should stand because Aruch HaShas. Why are you bringing from the Sefer HaMinhagim? Why don't you bring from the Rambam? So, Rabbi Yosef asked this question. He's trying to find schus for the Sfadim, where the Minhag is not to stand, let's say. And he says, based on this, you see, Lemaisa, that the Ramah didn't seem to hold. That's what the Rambam meant. The Rambam means you should be quiet, and you should be quiet, and you should concentrate, and you should put your mind to all the words, but not that you mummish have to stand, from the fact that the Ramah didn't bring it. Now, I want to just ask you a question here. Halacha Lemaisa, really, for Ashkenazim, is you should stand. Yeah, the Kitzur brings that, the Mishnah Berurah brings that, the Ramah brings that. Sfadim, it's a bit more maybe back and forth, although Rav Avadya does say, and there's a bracha for those who are machmir. But there's just an interesting sukkah to see how it's not so pasha. I want to ask you all a question. When according to, just two cases I can think of, when according to everyone you have to stand, when would they be? Okay, apart from Kedusha, let's say. That's a good point. Kedusha, you do have to stand, yeah? Kedusha, the mitzvah for the whole thing, until the Amen of Kala Kadosh, according to most places, yeah? What's the case when you would have to stand?
Some people stand for Voidin.
Some people have Voidin. But what for the whole thing, what would be a case? Two cases I thought of. Yeah, one is if you're being... it's very good. You don't know how to daven. 2 points. 2 points to that table. This table, Raboisa, come on. Yeah, one is... very good. If you are now being Yotze, yeah, you're trying to listen to the word. Even you don't know how to daven, or there's other times when you can be Yotze, we're not going to go into. So that... When else? I'll give you a clue. When you're the cousin, yeah, of course. That's a good one for her. When else? I'll give you a clue. I don't want to put my back to the camera. Let's say I'm davening and you're sitting here. Right, if you're sitting within 4 amos, which is, let's say, 2 meters, which is about 2 meters of the time, no, yeah? If you're social distancing, very good. So this would never happen, the Maisa. Yeah. So if you're sitting within two meters of... Very good, I didn't think of that. Yeah, when you're thinking of... when you're within 2 meters of someone, davening Shema Esrei, Lechatchila, you should stand up. Unless it's hard for you to stand, or if you're saying Shema or davening or something like that, you could make or maybe. But I'm saying, Lemaisa, if you're near the chazan, then you need to stand. If you're being Yotze yourself, you also need to stand. I just want to say, you mentioned... I don't know your name, sorry, what's your first name? Yossi. So Yossi mentioned that you should stand for Kedusha, right? That most places can bring all of Kedusha. I thought of a time, and I got this from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in his Sefer. He brings, when is the one time you don't have to stand till Ha'kel HaKadosh, till the bracha of Ha'kel HaKadosh for Kedusha? Most 90% of places can say you have to stand for the whole of Kedusha until the Amen, right? He brings a case where you wouldn't have to do that. What's the one case?
With a Christian person.
No. Yeah, true, but let's just say where you're in the sugya. No, you are now listening to Kedusha Shas. You're not in the middle of davening. You're in the sugya. When do you not have to stand? So he brings Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He said on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the bracha of Ha'kel HaKadosh is so long after the actual Kedusha that there no one expects you. Don't worry, no one expects you to stand up for like 3 hours and wait for the chazan to get there with all the singing and everything else. And he says there you could be makor and sit down and rely on those opinions. I want to talk a little bit, time permitting, about talking during Kedusha Shas. I know it's not negaya here at all. Of course it's not negaya here at all. But I want to just say that, you know, the Shulchan Aruch uses a Loshon which he doesn't use anywhere else. He uses a Loshon of Hu Choy Tova Godol, Avonoi Misai V'Goyarim Boy. He says anyone who talks during Kedusha Shas, his sin, his punishment is too great to bear. Rabbosai, he doesn't bring this Loshon anywhere else in the Gantz Shulchan Aruch. Anywhere. What? And you think to yourself, there are so many Averas that we can all think of that are brought on the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. I mean, why doesn't he bring this? Someone who does Melacha on Shabbos. Someone who, you know, a million other mitzvahs and Averas not to go into, right? But someone who steals. All these things, why doesn't he bring there? Your sin is too much to bear. He brings it by Chazoros HaShas, talking in Chazoros HaShas. But boys, I've seen Frum Yidden with big couples and sit out who talk in Chazoros HaShas sometimes. Nishka Felach. They wouldn't dream of stealing anything. Why is this Avera so serious according to the Shulchan Aruch?
Because of that. Because so people are so lenient in it, that's why. Because
that's an interesting answer. So sometimes you do see that in the poiskim. That's very true. Sometimes you see in the poiskim, they'll bring a Loshon of extremity for something which is neglected by the Tzibor. They don't need to go and say, oh, if someone chops his brother's head off and eats it with a pitchfork, he's a big Russia. It's obvious, and no one does it. It's not negeya. That could be an answer. Yeah, it could be something. The answer that I saw, where is this Loshen from? Does anyone know? Who knows that? Kayan, very good. So, Vayoymer Kayan El Hashem, says Kayan to Hashem, Godu Avoyni Minsoy, yeah? My punishment is too much to bear. Right, boy, it's like, what is the Shulchan Aruch doing? Did he just copy and paste from Bereishis? Maybe, what's going on? Why does he bring from Kayan? What's the shaykhus between Kayan killing his brother and the Shulchan Aruch? So the Shaykhus is Raboisai, which I think is, what did Kayan do to the world? Kayan, he killed his brother. He killed the connection of Am Yisrael, well not Am Yisrael, he killed the connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down into our world. He killed that connection because he took half the world away. When someone talked during Hazoras HaShas, now I'm not saying a Hatzalah member or things like that, when someone's mama schmoozing during Hazoras HaShas, he's saying, this is Tefillah B'Tzibur. You should know that Arizal says it's more chashuv even than the silent Shemoneh Esrei. You're now davening for Klal Yisrael. The Chazan's davening for Rafua Shelema, for Gam's Klal Yisrael, for all of these incredible things. Boinei Yerushalayim, and he's talking. He's killing his brothers. He's killing his brothers because the Shechina doesn't dwell. I'm not saying in my own words here, but whatever it means, the Shechina doesn't dwell in the same way amongst people who talk and disrespect Beis HaMidrash and disrespect the Shul. Okay, I don't know what that means, whatever else, I'm not criticising, I'm just saying what I saw in the poskim. So therefore, it's like you're killing your friends. They're davening now, he's davening now, he's davening now, and you're talking. It brings a certain ruach of badness to that tefillah, and it's like you're killing your friends, you're killing your brothers, you're killing their tefillahs, you're killing the uniqueness of Kodesh Baruch Hu coming down into the world. You know, it reminds me of a story I heard many years ago. I don't think it's true, but it's funny. I once heard a story, there was a captain on a boat, and they were sailing across the ocean, right? And in the middle of the night, the captain hears, so it's not the phone, don't worry. And he goes, what is that noise? 2 o'clock in the morning. He goes, joke, and eventually he puts his ear to a door and he hears, let me in. No, my room. Let me in, I'm the captain. If you don't open, I'm going to take off the hinges of the door. Ugh, fine. So whatever, he opens the door and he sees his chap. He's drilling a hole in the floor. He says, what are you doing, you mashugger, drilling a hole in the floor? He says, what's the problem? It's my room. I'll do what I want. I want my feet to have a bit of, bit of water. What's the big deal? He says, the whole boat's going to sink. What are you, mashugger? That's what it means. Yeah, when someone goes to shul and they disrespect shul, someone goes to the Beis HaMidrash, someone goes to Beis Knesset and they disrespect it and they make other people not be able to daven properly, you're sinking the boat for everyone. You may not gain much from shul. That's fair enough. It's not like a chiddush, but it's true, it happens. But don't bring everyone else down with you. And the main problem is, Rav Oyser, also, it's very difficult to do tshuva for things when you have no idea who you affected negatively. You know, we've all been in shul where someone's bothered us and we thought, oh, God, I've ruined my whole shacharis now. Why did I sit here? I should have sat there by the window. I knew it when I walked in. But you never do tshuva, because at the end of the day, you don't know who he is. He doesn't know who you are. So hopefully, there's a shem every night. We forgive everyone who's upset us in Erev Yom Kippur, whatever, Rosh Hashanah. But the maaseh is not a chachila. We should try to connect to people in the right way and not have animosity and things like that. I also want to say, just in regards to chinuch, I work a little bit with kids in schools. I also have worked in the past with people who have strayed, let's say, a little bit from the traditional path, to put it politely. And I would say one of the major issues, you ask people, why do teenagers or kids, whatever, stray from the normal path? And you always hear the same answers. Oh, it's the phones. Oh, it's the internet. Oh, he had a bad friend in school. Oh, it's the neighbours. If it wasn't for the neighbours, yeah? Everyone looks at everyone else, except for maybe themselves, yeah? So, Lemaisa, I'm not going to say 100% of cases, because every case is different, right? But in a lot of cases, in some cases at least, the problem is sometimes you get contradictions at home. And I want to say this now, very publicly. People will just hear this from me, even though I don't know whether it's worth anything, but just as my own Seichel, you don't have to be the frummest family in the world. You really don't have to be the frummest family in the world. But you have to have kovod for Torah and for tefillah, and you have to be consistent in that. So you don't have to be the frummest family, but you have to have a certain consistency of Torah and a consistency of learning, and you have to not have contradictions in the house. If you, let's say in shul, you go to shul, and you've learnt the sugya, and you're a great Talmid Chacham, and you can do Tosfos, Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam, yeah? And you know, well, Kabbalat Shabbos is just a minhag. Yeah, it's just a minhag. They say the Goyim didn't even do it, I once heard. Yeah? So I heard, okay, maybe it's not true, I don't know. Yeah, but I heard Kabbalat Shabbos is just a minhag. You don't have to. So, you know what? What's the big deal? I talked to Kabbalat Shabbos. It's not a big deal. Okay, and maybe you're right. You're not disturbing anyone. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's mutter. Maybe it is mutter. But Lamaisa, your 8-year-old son, who's sitting next to you, doesn't see the world in sukkahs. He doesn't see the world like you see the world, as complicated halachic, evaluations of when it's mutter, when it's asa. You know, they're bringing out the Sefer Torah and they can't find the key. So you're shmooze to the person next to you. Can't tell you it's asa, it's mutter, there's no problem there. But at the end of the day, a kid sees the world as black and white, and you see the world as sukkahs. You have to understand that when you talk in shul, you talk in shul. When a kid sees daddy talking in shul, he talks in shul, yeah? Sometimes, not 100% of the time. So we should use that to understand that we should have a certain kovod for shuls and a certain kovod for a base of midrash. Just even when it's mutter, someone should still try if they can to be a bit machmer on themselves. In terms of learning during Chazoris Hashas, you see this a lot. Yeah, we see a lot of Choshev people, I'll say, who learn during Chazoris Hashas. I was told off from someone in the room. And I wanted to say that when it comes to learning, When it comes to learning, I did it in a very polite way, in a private way, 100% right. When it comes to learning during Chazoris Hashas, I'm talking here about people where there's more than 10 people. Yeah, there's more than 10 people saying Amen, there's no problem, it's like Bracha and Lavatala or anything like that. So already the Mogen Avraham says it's a problem. Yeah, he says, ugh, people who come late to davening, they start catching up to Sukkot Zimra. Yeah, their loss is like more than their gain. Like, it's not the right time to do it. Whether it's mummish, asa, gomor, and it's the worst thing since, you know, chopping off the head with a pitchfork, it's not, okay? Because at the end of the day, if you've got 50 people who are answering, and you're in the back, and you're learning a bit, and you're being careful to answer, it's not the best thing. The Mishnah Berurah says you sure shouldn't do it, because even if you're careful that you can answer Amen at the right time, nevertheless, it's not good, because people will learn from you, and they'll learn, oh, you can learn during Chazoris Hashas, so they'll learn at the wrong time, and then their Aveira, in some ways, the Mishnah Berurah says, will be on you. So you'll get up to Shemayim with the Grace of Tzaddik, and they'll say, well, no, because John Joe Bloggs over there, he learned during Chazoris Hashas, and isn't able to answer Amen, and when he does answer Amen, it's all Amen Yosomas, because he doesn't know what bracha they're up to, and that's because he saw you learning. So the Mishnah Berurah does say it's best not to learn. Now the Chasam Sofer, Rabbi, so I want to tell you, the Chasam Sofer, the Chasam Sofer brings, and when he was a young man, he had a friend. And this friend came up to him and he said, I don't understand how you daven so much. He said, you'll never be a proper Talmud Chacham if you daven. You have to learn Kol Yom V'Laila. And the davening, okay, you daven a normal amount. The Chasam Sofer, they say, you should daven for hours and hours a day. And they said that to him, to the Chasam Sofer, his friend. And the Chasam Sofer quoted him a Gemara from Brachas. I think it's Nun Dalad Amud Beis, yeah? I think. And the Gemara in Brachas there says, Kol ha-marach b'tefillah, so anyone who's marach in their tefillah, they'll be blessed with a long life, yeah? People who are marach their tefillah. So the Chasam Sofer quoted this Gemara to him. He said, my job is not to worry about learning in this and davening and when how to congeal them and everything like that. My job is, now is the time for tefillah. Now is the time for tefillah. Now is the time for learning. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give back to me the years that I, let's say, lost in a certain sense, that I took away from learning and I added to my tefillah. A Kodesh Baruch Hu will give those years back to me. And he became, you know, one of the greatest Gadolim at the time. Yeah. Okay, yeah, fine. But he became a gross Talmud Chacham. Yeah, that's what he said. He quoted that Gemara. I want to just tell you, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he brings a very funny story. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach brings a story that he brings this in his sefer. That his talmidim, I think they write it actually. They came up to him once and they said, "Can we learn during Chazoris Hashas?" He said, "Really? You want to learn during Chazoris Hashas?" He said, "That's very interesting." He goes, "Why don't you ask me about learning in the shower?" They go, "Learning in the shower? What are you talking about learning in the shower?" So he goes, "Why don't you ask me about learning in the shower?" He goes, "We don't need to learn in the shower." He goes, "But there's a Gemara in Kedushin, right? Lamed Gimel, I think it's Lamed Beis, where it talks about, I think Lamed Aleph, sorry. The Gemara in Kedushin talks about how Rebbe's son was walking in the bathhouse, and he saw the bathhouse, sorry, we're in Manchester, was walking in the bathhouse, and the other Rabbonim there, the other Tanaim, I guess they were, didn't stand up for him. And he was very upset, and he went to his father. He said, I don't understand, they didn't stand up for me. I taught them Gant Torah, I taught them the whole Sefer Tehillim, and they don't stand up for me in the bathhouse." So Rebbe looked at him and he said, his father looked at him and said, "Don't worry." He said, "I'll tell you what I think it is. I think they were probably huzzering the sugya in their heads. And because they were so immersed in Torah, they were so immersed. They did immersed very good. They weren't aware that you were there. They weren't aware. The Gemara says, immersed in Torah. They're in a bathhouse, Rabbi Sayyid, immersed in Torah. The Gemara says, it's different for people like that. It's different, it's an oinus, it's different for people like that. They can't help but think into learning. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, can you imagine going up to Shemayim, and they say to you, why did you learn during Chazaras HaShas? You go, I was so immersed in Torah. Nafshi Torah, I love Torah so much, I couldn't stop learning. I said, but you slept for 17 hours on Friday night. Right? Why didn't you learn during half time of the FA Cup final? Why didn't you learn ever between the 8 and 9 when you had to listen to your fate with the news? And they can bring enough riots of times when you weren't in love with the Torah, yeah? So really, a lot of the time when people learn, it's more to do with they're not gaining much from a Chazaras HaShas rather than their love for Torah. It's not the right time, as the Magen Avraham says. You know, the Magen Avraham says, and also, you know, the Gemara in Brachos even says, someone who answers Amen could be even greater than someone who even says the bracha, right? So you should remember that. We should also remember the Arizal, that Chazaras HaShas is such a special thing that it's even special, more special in some ways than the silent Shemana Esrei. And we have to take those messages to heart. I just want to say, just to finish, a few more minutes. I want to just say that the Chasam Sofer writes also, there's a Gemara in Brachos in Chaf Dalad, and it says there, it's a famous quote by Shimon Bar Yochai. It says, good that a person davens all day. Good that it's talking about a different thing there, I think Tashlumim, I think. But it's good that a person davens all day. The Chasam Sofer says, what's pshat? Good that a person davens all day. What do you mean? What about learning? I mean, Shimon Bar Yochai, good that a person davens all day. When will you learn? So the Chasam Sofer says a very interesting pshat. He says, what it means is, there's no greater Yetzer Hara to learn than during davening, yeah? When you're davening, suddenly everyone's a greater Tabal Chochem, yeah? Oh, he's got this Sugya, and he's got that Gemara, and he's got the Rashba, and he's got this, and the Ritva, and why? Because at the end of the day, his Yetzer Hara is now telling him, now's the time for Tefillah, you learn. The Chasam Sofer said, the Chalavai, Rishon Bar Yochai meant, is that you have the same Yetzer Hara pushing you all the time to learn as when you're davening the whole day, right? Just as a kind of a cute end note. But I'll just end. We'll go another 2 minutes. I'll just skip a little bit. I'll just tell you a very, very quick story about how to view the world, and then we'll end there. I remember about 5 years ago, oh, maybe even a bit more, my brother's wedding, we went to Eretz Yisrael, and we stayed in a very fancy hotel. Yeah, no hint, mum and dad. Yeah, we stayed in a very fancy hotel in Eretz Yisrael. And I remember we got there, and it was really busy. And for some reason, normally in Israel, they would tell you, I'm sorry, we thought, yeah? But we booked. So they gave us like an upgrade to a big suite in this hotel, wherever it was, in Tel Aviv, or somewhere close to Tel Aviv. And I remember we were staying in this massive suite. And in this suite, we walk in, and my father, yeah, he's a tzaddik, but as he would put it, he worked in Schmutters, yeah, in the East End in London. That's how he would put it, right? It's common, because that's exactly how he says it. Yeah, he worked in Schmutters, yeah? And I remember we walked in to this hotel, and straight away my mother went to the view. She went, wow, I never look at the beach and the ocean and the sun shining down upon the ocean. And I'm like, okay, where's that? Where's Daddy? I turn around, my father, he's got the curtains at this hotel, and he's looking at the lining behind the curtains, and he's going, I think it's polyester. It says on the label it's blackout, but I don't think this is blackout. I think that's Turkish polyester. I'm looking at him and being like, what on earth is going on here? Who cares about the curtains? I didn't say anything. I want to tell you a message I heard from a Rav. The message is, Rabbi Yisai, you have to see the world, people see the world through their lens. Right, if you're working curtains all the time, so when you walk into a hotel room, it could be Buckingham Palace, you see the curtains. When you're a chef and you go to a restaurant, all you do is, oh, it's a bit too much salt, oh, it's a bit too much pepper, oh, it could be a little bit warmer, oh, I'm going to take the recipe. Rabbi Yisai, in our lives, we have to see the world for a Torah perspective. A Yid has to see the world, everything he does, for a Torah perspective. That's our job, that's our lives. And hopefully, we'll take this message for Chazaras HaShas, and we'll see Chazaras HaShas for a Torah perspective, and we'll grow in our Avodas Hashem. And when we hear Chazaras HaShas, we should feel that we're davening for Am Yisrael, and we'll use the time to get closer to Hashem and for our holy tefillahs. Yeah, is that, yeah? Good, yeah, okay. Say that. Sorry, I'm going to go.
Right, Chaim, I gotta go.
It's consecutive.
Very good. Excellent day. I work in the Schmatter trade as well.
Did you?
I still do work in
Schmatter. I saw you smiling.
You know something? I work in the same. Yeah, I know the Brooklyn game.
I used to go with him when I was a kid. My brothers used to put me in the curtain poles. You know the cardboard ones? And they roll me down Brick Lane. And all the, you know, it was all Muslims there, right? And they used to.